According to creation stories, the Ojibwe settled in Minnesota, guided by visions to migrate west, until they came to a place where food grew upon the water. That food, of course, was wild rice, but harvesting that rice, not to mention traveling across the Great Lakes to get here, required reliable watercraft. Their solution? Birch bark canoes.
Wiwashi Jama. Wiwashi is birch, the tree, and then Jama is canoe. So we say Wiwashi Jama.
That's Jim Jones Jr. speaking in Anishinaabe. Jones is a Minnesota Chippewa tribal member under the Leech Lake Band of Ojibwe and the Cultural Resources Director with the Minnesota Indian Affairs Council. That role includes teaching traditional craft skills like birch bark canoe construction.
You know, so my tie as me as an Anishinaabe person, it goes back as a lost art, one that needs to be brought back to the community. And so having the opportunity to bring that back and teach was helping to make sure that this gift gets passed on to other generations.
Christy and Ray Bozell also build these canoes from their shop in Big Fork, Minnesota. Christy's grandfather started building canoes out of a practical need for transportation, then began selling them. He taught Christy, then Christy taught her husband Ray. Nearly every part of a birch bark canoe can be gathered from a typical northern Minnesotan environment. Ray says it all starts by picking the right birch tree.
Just look for a nice tree. If it's too pretty, it's no good because it usually separates. And if it's kind of black bark, it's no good because it's got creases in the bark which will crack. And if they're black, they're too deep, so we can't use that. So it's got to be the right color of bark when you're looking at it. It's got to be the right size. And it doesn't necessarily matter about the age because we use small pieces for part of it and big pieces. So use bigger trees and smaller trees. But then that's the outside of the canoe is a birch bark.
You might expect these canoes to be white, like the bark of a birch tree, but the bark is actually applied inside out. That's the water-repellent side. There are two more types of trees used in these canoes, spruce and cedar.
And that's all sewed together with roots from a black spruce tree. And I just go out in the swamp, and I find an opening in the swamp where the roots throw out longer. And I dig them out by hand, just pull the moss off by hand, and the roots are underneath in the mud and the water. And it takes about 2 hours to get enough roots for a canoe. And after roots and the bark are ready, I go out and gather the cedar. And just, I have to go out and cut the cedar down. And whatever length I need for the ribs, that's where I make the lining also. And I just split that all out by hand. And then you start putting it together.
The only material that does not come from the woods is a synthetic sealant for the seams of the bark. Traditionally, the Ojibwe would have used a mixture of sap, bear grease, and water, but would have to be resealed each night after use. Once the materials are gathered, the bark is sewn together, bent around a frame, then the gunwales are sewn in, the frame removed, then the thwarts sewn in, then the cedar ribs are steamed and fitted to the interior. When it comes time to put the canoe in the water, according to Christy, that's where you notice the difference between birch bark canoes and other forms like aluminum or Kevlar.
They're quiet and they ride so light on the water, and they're pretty beautiful canoe, and then they're lightweight to portage. Just the quietness is just a pleasing experience when you're paddling them.
Not only were these canoes instrumental in shaping Ojibwe history, but also the history of early European settlers. Jones says you can follow a historic canoe route along Highway 6 from Gull Lake to Leech Lake north of Brainerd.
This route was how the Dakota would attack Ojibwe villages on Leech Lake. And the way that Joseph Nicolet learned of that route was by two Ojibwe guides who took him and showed him that route. But the next time they brought him up that route, they also brought with him schoolcraft and showed him the source of the Mississippi. How did they all get there? They got there by the canoes.
It's because of this impact on centuries of history, plus the fact that birch bark canoes are so thoroughly comprised of the Minnesotan environment, that Jones and the Bozells feel a connection to this particular method of boat making.
Every part that went into building that canoe is a living piece. It came from a living item. And so it's a living thing that we're creating, but it's made with living pieces. And we took their life to build another life.
For KFAI, I'm Ryan Dawes. Funding for 10,000 Fresh Voices on KFAI is made possible by a grant from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.